Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatzia, daf Pei Gimel. We are holding on daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. We are at Bishlama, a few lines from the end of the page, three lines from the end of the page on daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, Nisham Shev and Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Daniel Goldstein, in honor of his father Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Leib ben Mordechai Alevi, on his 9th yard site that was on Shabbos, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we were right in the middle of a conversation where we were asking a stira whether Rabbi Meir holds that a guy who trips is a poshaya or not, is a nitkal poshaya or nitkal lav poshaya. In that context, we were going through three different opinions in Tanayim about a guy who trips as he's schlepping barrels from one place to another. So we're going to have two different. We already saw one answer to the stira in what Rabbi Meir holds. Misha Shanazu lo Shanazu, that it's two Tanayim alibud Rabbi Meir. So we're going to finish up the discussion that ensues after answer number one, and then we're going to have a second answer to the stira in Rabbi Meir, whether Rabbi Meir holds nitkal posheya or nitkal lav posheya. Then the parak is going to conclude. Today we finish parak Hasochras Umnin and we begin Hasochras Apolin. So Perek HaSochras HaUmnin is going to conclude with three stories about porters breaking barrels, which seems appropriate because it fits our discussion from the Mishnah. Then we're going to begin Perek HaSochras HaPoalim, and we're going to talk about what assumed terms of employment are in terms of whether you have to feed the employees, what time they have to start work, what time they end work, what are the assumptions that are made, and what if a person made a Tanai to attach to that employment. Then the Gemara is going to have various limudim from a Paskin to Hillim, a couple of different limudim, including about when working hours are, when a person is supposed to start their work day, and when a person is supposed to finish their work day. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have a long, elaborate story about how Rabbi Lazar got into the business of becoming a police officer, an arresting officer, that he was the one who was in charge of catching Ganavim. So that's going to bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin. Again, three lines from the end of the page, on daf pei beis on beis, Bishlama. So we had said that there were three shitos in Tanayim about someone who trips while they're schlepping barrels. So does he have to just take a shavua and become patur? Does it make a difference if he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar? So we saw Rabbi Elazar had said that I know that there's a tradition like Rabbi Meir that both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar, whether he's getting paid or whether he's not getting paid, he's nishpa v'niftar. He could just take a shavua and he's going to be patur. But tami ani michal. But I don't understand why either one of them should be able to swear. So says Gemara, what does he mean by that? On the one hand, I would first understand why a Shomer Chinam would be able to swear that he was not Poshaya, and since a Shomer Chinam is Pater on anything other than Pshia, so that's all he needs to do. He just has to swear that he's not Poshaya, and when a person trips, it's considered more aligned with the level of carelessness of Geneva Vaveda, not of Pshia, and therefore he's not going to have to pay. But a Shomer Sachar, even if he swears that he was not Poshaya, he's still Chayiv on Gnei Vaveda. So tripping would at least have the status of a Gnei Vaveda, so what's swearing going to help him? And even a Shomer Chinam, I'm not so convinced that if he swears, he's going to exempt himself from paying. Because Had Tenach, I understand, b'makomitron, if it's when he's schlepping the barrels, he's on a slanted ground where it's much more likely that he's going to trip, and therefore it's more like an onus if he trips. So shalom b'makomitron, but if he goes on straight ground, mimas mishtabeh d'lo pasha. What, he could take a shavua that it was not Poshaya? If you trip on straight ground, that is Pshia. What do you mean he was not Poshaya? That by definition is Pshia. So Shomer Chinam should be Chayiv as well. V'afil b'makom mitronami, and even in a case where it's on a slanted ground, hatena checha delek araya. I understand very well if there were no edim that are available that were able to see exactly how he tripped, so then he could take a shavua that he was not Poshaya and he'll be Potter. Avalech dik araya, but in a place where there were edim Edom available that were able to see exactly what happened, why would we accept a Shavua? Lacey Raya Liftar. Let him bring the Edom and only then he'll be Potter. Ditanya, because after all, we have a price of the Isi Ben Yuda Omer. Isi Ben Yuda points out, it says in the Pasuk of Shomer Sachar, it says, Ein Roe Shavua Sashem Tia Bein Shneem. So we darshan from that Pasuk, Hayesh Roe, but if there were people who saw it, namely Edom that saw exactly what happened, then we don't accept the Shavua, Yavi Raya V'Yiftar. Then you'll have to bring the Edom that saw it, and that way you'll be Potter. So that's the explanation for the Sheet of Rabbi Lazar, where Rabbi Lazar says, Tami Ani, why either one of these guys should be able to take a Shavua. Shomer Sachar taking a Shavua that is not Poshea is really meaningless, because then, because he's Chayv and Gneva Aveda as well, and even a Shomer Chinam, if he trips on straight ground, he's automatically a Poshea, and if he trips on uneven ground, he may not automatically be a Poshea, but why would we accept a Shavua? Let Edom who saw come and let us know what actually happened. So that was the end of that discussion from yesterday. Now the Gemara says maybe there's another way to reconcile the two Shitos of Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and the Braisa. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that really Rabbi Meir holds Nitkal is Poshea, like it says in the Braisa. But over here in the Mishnah, there's a specific reason to patter him with the Shavua, even though really he should have been Chayiv because he's Poshea by tripping. Shavua zu takonas chachamim hi. This idea that he could take a Shavua and not have to pay was a special takonas chachamim, shemiyat omer kein, because if we do not give him the chance to get out of paying by taking a Shavua, ein l'chadam amavir chavis l'chaverim mimakom mimakom. No one is going to volunteer to be a porter. No one's going to be interested in schlepping barrels from one place to the other, because they know that if they trip once, then that's it. All the barrels are going to break, and it's going to be their responsibility. Too much risk in the profession. And since people need porters, so they made a special takanas chachamim that will be able to be potter. So I asked the Gemara, hechi mishtava, what's he supposed to be? What's the shavua supposed to be? Normally, we thought the shavua was supposed to be that he's not poshea, but we just said that when tripping, by definition, is poshea, and he tripped, so he was poshea. So what's the shavua supposed to be? So Amarava, shavua shalom bekavana shvartiha. The whole shavua is that he did not break the barrels on purpose. That's the Shavua. Vas Rabbi Yehuda Lemeimer and Rabbi Yehuda, so that's Shitas Rabbi Meir. Then Vas Rabbi Yehuda Lemeimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Nitkal is not a Poshea. A Nitkal is on the level of Geneva Vaveda. It's not actual Geneva Vaveda. Obviously, he tripped and he dropped it and no one stole it. He didn't lose it. But it's a level of onus that's akin to Geneva Vaveda. So it's not onus, it's not Poshea. It's similar to Geneva Vaveda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shomer Chinam Yeshava. Shomer Chinam could swear that he was not Poshea, and that he was only Nitkal, and then he's going to be Potter. But Nosei Sachar Yishalim, but a Shomer Sachar, even if he was not Poshea, if he was Nitkal, it's on the level of Gnev Aveda, so he's going to have to pay. Hai Kedinei, Vahai Kedinei, each one, exactly what you'd expect them to be Chayev for. Vasa Rabbi Elazar the Meimer, and then Rabbi Elazar comes and says, in Gemara Rabbi Meir, I know that there is a tradition I learned from my Rebbeim, like the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, that both the Shomer Sachar and the Shomer Chinam could be Nishba and Niftar. Miu Tami Ani Michal Mezav Zelishava. But I have problems with both of those things. I have a problem with the idea of a Shomer Chinam being Nishba and Niftar, and I have a problem with the Shomer Sachar being Nishba and Niftar. So what is his problem? Well, Bishlam a Shomer Chinam Mishtava Kilo Shalom Pashaba. At first glance, you would say, so this is just going to be very repetitive. At first glance, you would say that I understand very well that a Shomer Chinam could take a Shavua that he was not Poshea, and therefore he's going to be Potter El Shomer Sachar, but Shomer Sachar Amay Mishtava Kilo Pashanabi Bayishlumei. Why would a Shavua help a Shomer Sachar even if he was not Poshea? He's Chayiv because it's on the level of Gneva Aveda. Vafilu Shomer Chinam Nami, and even Shomer Chinam is not so Pashut because HaTenech B'Makom Midron. I understand very well if it's on uneven ground Shalom B'Makom we're tripping is currently ones, so you could take a Shavua and it'll be Potter. But Shalom B'makom Midron, but if it was on even ground, can he take a Shavua that he was not Poshea? Tripping on even ground is Pshia. And even if it's on slant, it's on uneven ground, that works very well, that he could take a Shavua that he was not Poshea if there are no Edom around. But but if there are Edom around, let him bring Edom and let that get him Potter. But we won't accept a Shavua if there's the availability of Edom that saw exactly what happened. After all, the Tanya Isi ben Yuda Omer, Isi ben Yuda Darshan's the pasuk by Shomer Sachar, Ein Roa Shavuos Hashem, Tia Ben Shneim. Ha Yesh Roa, but had someone seen it, Yavirai V'Yiftar, let the Edom come and testify as to what happened, and then it'll be Pater. So that's just a repeat of the Shittos of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. The only thing that changed between version 1 and version 2 is Rabbi Meir. Is Rabbi Meir's Shita is how exactly to explain why the steer in Rabbi Meir of whether Nitzkal Poshea. So the first answer was Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu, that was a steer within Rabbi Meir, that was two deos within Rabbi Meir. And the second answer was, no, of course the Nitzkal is a Poshea, but then maybe there's a Din Midrabanan that a Nitzkal can take a Shavua and be Pater anyway. So now the Gemara tells three stories about poor breaking barrels. So Gavra Davakama Avr Chavisa de Chamra. There was a guy who was schlepping barrels of wine, Beristika de Machuza, in the marketplace of the city of Machuza, Vitavra Beziza de Machuza, and he bumped into beams that were protruding from walls in Rosh Hasharabim in the city of Machuza, and it broke. So Asal Kame de Rava. So the person came to Rava to paskin the din, Amalei, Ristika de Machuza, the shuk of Machuza has a lot of people around. So obviously, a lot of people would have seen exactly what happened. And therefore, zil isi raya v'iftar. You're not going to be able to take a shvur that you're not poshaya, because if there are a lot of people around, that means that there are edim. Bring some of those edim and let them testify. Samalei Rav Yosef Pereis, Rav Yosef Rava's son, said to his father, Kiman, wait, that's an interesting psak. Who are you following? Ki Isi, you're following the shita of Isi from that brisa that we just quoted twice, where Isi darshan's the pasuk about a shomer sachar, that ein roeh, hayesh roeh, then you have to bring them. Samalei, in ki Isi, usfirlan kavasei. Yeah, sure, we paskin like Isi. So that's exactly what I'm paskining like. Another story. A guy told his friend, go and buy for me 400 barrels of wine. 400 is a number that Chazal often use when they're speaking Belashon Guzma, when they're speaking an exaggerated term, but specifically over here, it seems that Dafka is trying to tell us that it was a large order of wine. So whether it's a Lashon Guzma or not a Lashon Guzma, it had to be a large order of wine for the story. So Azal Zavaneh, he went and he bought it from Lesof Asal Kameh. At the end of the day, the Shliach comes back to the Mishaleach. I bought 400 barrels of wine, and they all turned sour. They all turned to vinegar. The Raivin Kor in the Shittim Vetzah says, and he meant to tell the guy, look, I did my job, so you can go to the salesman if you want. If you have a problem, then the Shaleach and the Mocher could duke it out, but it's not my problem. So Asal Kameh de Rava, so the Shliach came to Rava to paskin whether this was his problem or not. So Amalei, Arba Mei Adoni Chamra Tekifi, 400 barrels of wine that go sour, kala islay the milsa, that's something that everyone will find out about. Meaning that's something that's a major event because of the sheer quantity of the wine. A bottle of wine goes sour, no one knows about it. 400 barrels of wine are going to go sour. There must be people that know about it, and therefore zil I see right to make karki mizvanta luhu chamra ma'al yahava. You now have to go find some of those people and let them testify that when you bought it, it was actually good wine. The iftar, and then you won't have to pay. But short of that, you're going to have to pay. Amalei Rav Yosef Pereis, Rav Yosef his son said to him, "Kiman ki isi, you're paskening like isi that if there are edim around, then you have to bring the edim." Amalei in ki isi usfirlan kav. Say, yes, I'm paskin like Isi, because we paskin exactly like Isi. Rashi explains that what's the idea that there are people that are going to know about it and you have to bring them? So Rashi explains that we have to be mevarer with Edim whether the Yayin was already soured in the Rishus of the Mocher and you tricked the Mishaleach and you bought already soured wine instead of good wine in order to benefit yourself, in order to pocket the difference in price between wine and vinegar, meaning to buy 400 barrels of wine is maybe $10 a barrel. To buy 400 barrels of vinegar is $7 a barrel. So you're pocketing the extra $3. By the time you bought it, it was already vinegar. Or maybe you brought vinegar from your own home and you loaded up your own home with wine. I mean, that's what we're suspicious of over here. And that's why he needs to bring rayas He needs to bring rayas, he needs to bring edim that will testify that it was wine at the time that he bought it. Now, what does it mean that kala islay, that everyone knows that that wine sours? How does everyone know when 400 barrels of wine sour? So the Ravid and the Nemuka Yosef explain that kala islay the milsa means that it's normal that when a person discovers that 400 barrels of wine that he thought were wine have turned into vinegar, that he will scream and he will cry and he will lament his fate and he will tell everyone about it. And a Rava says, to the shliach who purchased the wine, bring the edim, bring all the people you spoke to as soon as you discovered that that happened. Bring anyone who was in your vicinity when you discovered that all that wine had turned into vinegar. Because mistama, they know about it, right? Probably you shared with them. The Ravid says that Beis Din should look into the matter and see to it that a lot of time had passed between the purchase of the wine and the discovery that it was vinegar. Because if it was discovered immediately after the purchase, so then something is fishy, meaning then something is off. If it was discovered immediately, it must be that it was already vinegar and he was aware of that. And the Ravid just adds, if the shliach doesn't bring edim, then the shliach has to be done with the mocher and not with the mishaleach. He's the one that's going to have to, the mocher and the mishaleach are not the ones that have to talk to each other. The shliach is going to have to be the one that negotiates with the mocher. Anyway, so that was story number two. So itkin Rav Chiya bar Yosef b'sichra, Rav Chiya bar Yosef made a takana in the city of Sichra that hani didaru ba'agra, those workers that carry things with an agra, a type of carrying stick that they put bundles and packages on both sides of the stick. So if one of them carried one of these things where the package wasn't so heavy that it required two people to carry it, but it was heavier than what it would normally require one person to carry, the itbar, and it broke, and therefore the package came tumbling to the ground and it got damaged. So nishlam palga, he only pays chatzi nezek. That was his takana. My time. Well, why does he only pay chatzi nezek? Because nafish l'chad v'zuto l'trei karav l'onus v'karav of the Pshia, because since the bundle that he was carrying in this way was more than one person is normally able to carry alone, but it was less than what normally requires two people to carry, so people typically will try to push themselves to carry such a heavy package, and therefore when it breaks, it's karav la'ones because it's expected that that's what a person is going to do, but it's also karav la'pshia because it's really more than he could do, meaning people's self-assessment of what they're able to handle is often a little bit higher than what they're actually able to handle, and therefore it's karav la'onus and karav la'pshia. But bedigla, but if he carries using a different type of carrying stick it's a long stick, and when he wants to rest, he sticks it in the ground. So if he hangs a package that normally would have to be carried by two people, and he trips and he falls and he breaks it, mishalim kula. Then he's going to pay nezek shalim because that's a pshia, because he took on way more than he could handle, and that much everyone should have been able to self-assess that they couldn't handle such a thing. Now the third story about a porter. Rabbi Bar Bar Chanan hired workers to schlep his barrels from one place to another. They broke the porters, broke the barrels with negligence. So he took away their jackets as a form of payment. Their jackets were worth something, their clothing was worth something. So that was the form of payment for breaking his barrels. So Asu Amru L'Rav, they went and they complained to Rav, look what Rav Bar Bar Chanan did to us, we were working for him and we broke his stuff, and now he took away our clothing. So Amru Lei, Rav said to Rav Bar Bar Chanan, Havlu Klimayu, give them back their clothing. Amru Lei, Rav Bar Bar Chanan said, why? Din Ahachi, is that the din? They were posheya, I hired them to do work, they were terrible, they were negligent, they broke all my stuff. Is it din that I have to give them back their clothing? So he said, yeah, leman telich b'derech tovim, that you are supposed to go lifnim mishur sadin. That's what we learn, leman telich b'derech tovim. In the Sefer Atzi Broshim, he says, you see that since the pasuk is a pasuk in Mishlei, it's a raya that we're talking about an anhaga that's lifnim mishur sadin, because Sefer Mishlei includes a lot of divrei musar that a person is supposed to do lifnim mishur sadin. And he says, the pasuk says, derech tovim sounds like it's a derech that's unique for tovim and not for stam b'nei adam, not for everybody else. So that's how we know that this is a lifnim mishur sadin hanhaga. So you want to know dina hachi, and the answer is no, not dina hachi, But lifnim yishur sadin hachi, and you're the type of person that it should be going lifnim yishur sadin. Yav lugli mayu sarab barbechanan returned the beged. So Amalei, the workers still weren't satisfied. They went to complain to Rav again. They said, we're very poor. We worked all day. We're starving. We don't have food to eat after working all day. V'leslan midi, we don't have any money now because he didn't pay us for our work. Pay them for their work. They were posheya. They broke all this stuff. So Rav said to Rav Rabbanan, Zil havigrayu, go pay them. So Amalei, dinachi, that too. So Amalei, he said, yeah, va'orchos tzadikim tishmar, that you don't only have to go lefnim yishur hasadin, you have to go super lefnim yishur hasadin. You're not just the derech tovim; it's orchos tzadikim tishmar. You're supposed to follow the ways of the tzadikim. If you look at Rashi, says Rashi, seifei de. It's the end of that very same pasuk. So what's Rashi telling me? So the Marsha says, meaning, after all, I'll look up the first pasuk, because when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, you look up the pasuk. So I'll look up, now you don't even have to. It quotes all the pasukim in the Torah or Hashalim on the side of the page. And you'll see that it's the very same pasuk. You know that it's the same pasuk. What's Rashi adding over here? So the Marsha explains that if Varuch HaSadikim Tishmar was a separate pasuk, it would not be a raya. They have to pay them for their work as well, even though they were posheya, because one might have explained that it's telling me just to go regular lefnim yishur hasadin to return the glima, to return the clothing back. But since you already have in the very same pasuk that derech tovim, that you're supposed to return the clothing, so that in that very same pasuk it must be orchos tzadikim tishmar, tell me an additional level, a higher level of lefnim yishur hasadin. The Gra in Mishlei explains why the first half of the pasuk relates to the mechila of the nezek, and the second half of the pasuk relates to paying their wages, because the first half of the pasuk speaks about tovim, the second half of the pasuk is about tzadikim. The difference is that tovim are people that do good with other people, and even if someone owes you something, mitzad adin, you're going to be mochel that which they owe you. Mechilas hanezek relates to tovim, leman teilech b'derech tovim. But to actually pay them, to take money out of pocket and actually pay them, that only tzadikim are going to do. That's more than tovim, and that's how we know that that tzadikim relates to taking money out of pocket and actually paying them for their jobs. Adron lecha socher esu manin. So now, when we begin, so when a person hires someone to do work for them, you can attach whatever tanai you want to the terms of employment. But what if you didn't make a tanai? So then we go with what we call industry standard. So industry standard, you know, in a lot of places is the excuse for shoddy work. But we have such a concept in halacha as well. So asocher sapolim, someone hires polim to work for him. Va'amr lahem, and he says to them, lahashkimu lahariv, that they should come early before Netzachama and work late until after Shkia. So normally the workday is assumed to be from Netzachama until Shkia, right? Sunrise to sunset. Makom shnagu shlo lahashkim shlo lahariv, ein rashi lekofan, that if the minhag of the makom is that if people don't do that, then you don't have the right to force those conditions on them, and they should follow, they only have to follow the minhag makom. And the same is true as far as what kind of food you're going to provide them with. Makom shnagu lazun, if the minhag is that you provide food for your workers, yazun, then you need to do that. Lesapik b'metika, and if the minhag is to provide them with a little something to put on their bread, so yisapik, then you have to give them a little shmir for their bread. Hakol k'minhag medina, whatever it is that is the minhag medina, that's what you have to follow. So, Maisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, Sha'amel Abino. One time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya was once told his son, "Say Sechar Lanu Polim, go hire some workers for me." So, Halach, the son went to hire the workers of Pasuk Lemezonos, and he told them, "Don't worry, we're going to provide you meals provided on this job." Ukshvay, it's 11, when he told his father the terms of employment that he had arranged, even if you were to make a meal for them like the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech while he was king. B'shaito means while he was king. That's what Rashi points out. It's a reference to the Gemara in Gittin that Shlomo HaMelech lost his Malchus at some point. But B'shaito, while he was the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech, B'shaito, lo yotzasi de chavascha imen, you still would not have provided them with enough, because Shein B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, they're children of B'nei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Remember remember the suda that Avram Avinu provided the Malachim? That's the kind of suda they expect. Shlomo Melech never had such sudos. So even if you do like Shlomo Melech, you still didn't do exactly what you should have done. The Gemara is going to explain in a couple of dapim from now why that the suda of Avram Avinu was greater than the suda of Shlomo Melech. Toz Yontu says, yeah, but Avram Avinu, we have a raya that his sudas were greater. What about Yitzchak and Yaakov? Why do we have to mention Yitzchak and Yaakov over here? So Toz Yomta says, because to highlight that this is only if you hire Jewish workers, Kibi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera, and not Yishmael, and also not Esav, because Bi Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak. So that's why we emphasize that it's Zera Avram, but Zera Avram is defined as B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It's not just B'nai Avram. So Zera Avram means Bi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera. So that's why we highlight Zera. That's why we highlight all three of the Avos. Ela Adshlo Yaschil B'Mlach. So quick, before they start doing the work, Save Amorlam El Menashe Elecham Elai El Pasukin Es Blad. Go make it clear that the meals that we're providing are only bread and some beans. Otherwise, you're going to have to provide for them the highest level food that we're not able to do. That was beyond what you needed to do. You don't have to say explicitly, and we're only providing bread and beans. If that's what the Minhag HaMedina is, that's all they would be chayiv to do anyway. You wouldn't be chayiv to provide the most fancy, expensive meals anyhow, even though they are Jewish people, who are B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So now, the Mishnah had said that when you hire workers stam, you cannot force them to do more than the minhag hamakom. Well, pshita, obviously, if I hire a worker stam, so I can't, right? The case, I saw chesapolim, I hired workers, and it was just stam. And then afterwards, was amar lehem lashkim alarev. I decided to tell them, oh, by the way, I expect more from you. What do you mean? You can't expect more from me. So, of course, the halacha is that it's kol k'minhag hamakom. So, it says, amar lo tzricha, ditafaluhu agrayim. Now, the case is, you're paying them more than the standard wage. Ma'u detem amar lehu, that I might have thought that the employer could say, why do you think I'm paying you above the average wage? It's because I'm expecting you to put in more than average hours. I'm expecting you to come early and to leave late. So that they could say back to him, we thought you were paying us extra because you trust that we're going to do better work than most other people. So that you trust the quality of our work is going to be better and you get what you pay for. Not because the hours of our work are going to be longer, but the quality is going to be better quality. So says the Me'iri, and if they don't produce better quality work, then they got to return the extra money. But he quotes Yesh Cholkim, meaning they were saying, we're trying our best to produce better quality work than what you could normally expect. So now the Gemara explains the times that a person begins and ends work. Amrei Shlokish, Poel B'Knisa Michelot. When a poel is coming from the field to the city at the end of the workday, so that time comes off his own time. Meaning if a workday goes from sunrise to sunset, that means he has to stay out at work until sunset, and the commute time begins at sunset. But when he's going from the city to his work in the morning, Michel Balabayas, he only has to leave the house at sunrise. He does not need to leave his house already at Amud HaShachar or sometime before Netzach Chama so that he could start his workday at Netzach Chama. Tosos explains over here that the chiluk is between Knesset and Yitzia, the Yitzia Lemalacha is Lutzorich Lebalabayas. Going home is Lutzorich Atzmo. So since going to work is for the sake of the Balabayas, so that comes off the Balabayas this time. But since going home is for his own sake, so that comes off of his own time. In Taras Chaim, explains the reason is that the poel should be able to, the reason that we allow him to go to work a little bit late is so that he could daven and say Kriya Shema. That even though really you're supposed to daven Nima Neitzachama, but you're allowed to daven B'diavad, you're allowed to daven earlier than that. So we want to make sure that he has time to daven. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, based on the Gemara in Yoma, the Gemara says, Shaini Migna Mimekam, that there's a difference between going to sleep and waking up. That it's easier for a person to lose a little sleep by staying up late than than it is by waking up early. So we don't want to make him wake up early. I don't know, one could argue it depends on the person. Some people are morning people, some people are night people. My guess is most of the people in the room here probably do not share that experience, right? This is a morning daf yomi. You go to a late night daf yomi, and everyone will say, yeah, of course. But okay, so Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Tizrach Hashem she'asafun ve'almanasim yirbatsun, yeitad lefa'alov la'vadaso adei arev. That when the sun shines, that's when the chayos hayar go from their hiding places, and that's when a person goes out to work, and he continues to work until till sunset. So you see, the time that they go out to their work is at Netzachama, and they come back, and they continue out until Tzeisak Kochavim. So that's Adei Arev. So V'lechzi Heichi Nihigi. So I asked the Gemara, well, wait a second, why do you need to be koveya what a work day is? Just see what the minhag ha'makom is. Everything is based on minhag ha'makom anyway. Now, bi'ir chadasha, maybe it's a brand new city, doesn't have a minhag yet. So nechzi meheicha ka'asu. Fascinating. So says the Gemara, if you don't have a minhag ha'makom, see where the people came from. And wherever the majority of people came from, that should be the minhag ha'makom. Right? Jews come to America. What's the minhag ha'makom in America? Well, if it's a German-Jewish congregation, then probably whatever the minhagim in Germany are. If it's a Hungarian Jewish are, probably whatever the minhagim are in Hungary. You go with whatever the majority were. So b'nekotai. No, we're talking about it's really like America, where you have most kihilos are there people of Polish ancestry and German ancestry and Hungarian ancestry. So then they're all gathered together in one place. So really, what Eretz Yisrael is now, where you have a kibbutz goliels like we Baruch Hashem is what we've been davening for, right? You see, kibbutz goliels. So I was just Rabbi Reisman yesterday in Torah Vadas, and he was saying like each decade, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought a different section of the globe to Eretz Yisrael. He brought the Iranian Jews, he brought the Russian Jews, he brought the Ethiopian Jews, he brought the Eastern European, that at each different time. So you have this incredible kibbutz goliath that's going on. So you have these communities that are full of people from all over the place. So then you have to determine what the minhag is going to be. So that's what Reish Lakish is coming to tell me, that the minhag is sunrise to sunset. Iba Yisema, Damalu da grisuli kapal da raisa. That he says that agrisuli kapal da raisa. That that maybe the terms of the employment were that I'm agreeing to whatever the Torah calls a work day. And therefore, I need to know what the Torah calls a workday rather than following the minhag. So the question was, why don't we just follow the minhag? Why do I need to be told what the Torah calls a workday? So we had three interpretations. Either it was a new city, or it was a city that was made up of a whole bunch of people of different minhagim, or that the terms were that they should be hired like a pol d'oraisa. Darush Rabbi Zeir Rav Amila Tani Rav Yosef, my dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean? Tashas choshech v'yilayla bo sirmos kol chayso ya'ar l'char, it's a double expression. Tashas choshech v'yilayla. The choshech itself is Laila. So of course tachas choshech, right? But the choshech kara Laila, the Pasuk in Bereishis says. So of course tachas choshech, and it is Laila. So tachas choshech be Laila, zeil mazeh, shedom al Laila. Now that's a reference to al-mazeh, which is compared to Laila. Bo sirmos kol chai so ya'ar, elu rishayim shabo, v'dom l'chaya shedom l'chaya shabi ya'ar. That's the rishayim in al-mazeh, that they do all their actions in the dark and in hiding, because they're doing all sorts of averos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay them back in Olam Hazeh. They live like a chaya in the Ya'ar who's able to hide away and is able to do whatever he wants and no one sees him in this world. But ultimately they'll pay the price. And the pasuk continues, Tizrach HaShemesh Yasafun Vel Monasum Yirbatsun Tizrach HaShemesh L'Tzadikim. The sun is going to shine for Tzadikim that do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in Olam Hazeh. And therefore they're going to be zocha l'asad lavo, that the sun is going to shine for them and provide refuah and good things for them. Yasefun Rishayim L'Gehenim, and Yasefun Rishayim L'Gehenim, the Rishayim are going to be gathered into Gehenim. And another schar for tzaddikim vel monasum yirbatsun. Ein l'cha kol tzaddik b'tzaddik she'en lo modu l'fi kvodo. Every tzaddik is going to get a residence that matches the honor that he deserves. Yetzi adam falo yotzi tzaddikim l'kbol schar, and tzaddikim are going to go out to receive their schar v'lavodaso adei arev v'mishe ishlam avodaso adei arev. For someone who continues his avoda until the day of his death. That if he continued to be a tzaddik, he was not chozer yom echad the flame yisasa. The Gemara in Kedushin says tzaddik gomor kol yamav, and he's marad ba'achrona, he loses everything. So no, if he stays adayar, if he stays on track until the very end of his life, so then he's going to get the greatest olam haba. So now the Gemara tells the story. Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon, Nashka, Chlupar, par hagavna de katavis ganvi. He saw an officer arresting ganavim. So I'm later, Rabbi Elazar said, heichi yichaltalu, how do you know their tricks to know how to catch them? Lav kachivasim etili, aren't these Rishayim compared to like chayos of the forest that have all these ways of hiding their actions? Tichsiv, bos yirmos kol chayso yar. So the ikata amri me haikra kamle. Others say that he quoted a different pasuk to him. Yarav b'mister ka'aryik v'suko, so that like a lion hides in its hiding place nearby where people are and avoids being caught. Dilma shakalta tzadik v'shafakta rishii. How do you know you're doing a good job? Maybe all the people you're arresting are tzadikim and they're not the ganavim and you're leaving the rishayim. So he wanted to know. So amalei, so the guy, this officer said, umayya avid, harmer demalku, what do you suggest I do? Meaning I have a quota. I'm supposed to give out certain number of tickets. I'm supposed to arrest a certain number of people. So what do you suggest I do? So Amr Sarblad says, I'll tell you my suggestion. Let me teach you what to do. Go at breakfast time to the local diner. If you see people drinking wine, and they're holding a cup of wine in their hand, and they're falling asleep at breakfast time, 4 hours into the day, they used to have brunch. They only had two meals. So it's not breakfast, lunch, supper. So breakfast time is 4 hours into the day because it was one of two meals. So shayli lavei, and they also used to not have obesity problems. So shayli lavei, so they you should ask these people that are there. Itzur merabanan hu, if he's a talmid chacham v'nayim, and if he's a talmid chacham and he's dozing off, then you know akdum ekadum legirsei. Then you know that he got up really early to learn, and that's why he's dozing off at this point, 4 hours into the day. Because 4 hours into your day is not 4 hours into his day, right? If you have a teenage daughter, you know, like I was, my daughter was once in Israel, I was in America, and I woke up before her, 7 hour difference, right? And if the person is a poel, so kadam kavod avinte, then you know that he got up early to go do his avoda. Toras Chaim points out, it's so interesting, by Talmud Chacham it says akdume kadam legirsei, double lashon of kadima. By a poel it says kadim kavod avinte, a single lashon of kadima. And the musar is that if you wake up early to go to work, then keep that in mind. When you retire, wake up even earlier to go learn. Rabbi Reisman told us yesterday that his father was a baker. He used to wake up at 4:15 a.m. His alarm was set for 4:15 a.m. every day to bake. So as soon as he retired, 4 a.m. And he said the only time he ever remembered his parents getting into an argument, he remembered hearing screaming from the kitchen, and he was shocked because he never heard his parents argue at all. And his mother was crying, you retired and now you're waking up at 4 a.m.? It's bad for your health. You need to, how could you set your alarm for 4 a.m.? And he said, if I did this for work, then that's what I have to do for learning. Then I have to wake up at 4 a.m. So he relented and he set the alarm for 4:15, but he changed the clock 15 minutes faster. So that, okay, so true story. So the avinte belaila, and if it's someone who works during the night, redude rodid, then maybe if he's someone who deals with certain types of metals that they make needles and it doesn't cause a lot of noise, so that could be done at night and no one will know about it. And if none of those excuses exist, then the guy's a ganav, because what was he doing up all night that he's already tired at breakfast time? So tafse, and then you'll know that you can arrest the person. So Shtamim Milsa Bei Malka, the melech heard about this brilliant plan. So Amru Karyina Digarte, you lavi pravanka, you're the one that came up with the plan, you're the one that should implement the plan, you're now hired as the arresting officer. So they brought Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and he was the one that had to follow his own plan in order to arrest all the ganavim. So Shalach le Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha said to Rabbi Elazar, Chometz ben Yayin, vinegar, the son of wine. I mean, you're Rasha, the son of a tzaddik. His father was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Your father's a big tzaddik, and this is what you're doing for a living. And Masay ato Masra Amol Shal Elokeinu La'ari. For how long are you going to be giving over Jewish people to get killed? So Shalach Lei, Rabbi Elazar, Kutz Mani Michal Men HaKerem. These aren't the good guys. You know, I'm getting rid of the bad guys. So Shalach Lei, Yavo Bal HaKerem Michal Es Kotzav. Let the owner of the vineyard come and remove the thorns from the vineyard. It shouldn't be up to you. Yom Echad Pagabeu Koveis. One day he ran into a certain laundry mat person. So Kari Chometz Ben Yayin. And that Koveis called him Chometz Ben Yayin. So Amr Mitchatzav Kulei Ay Shema Minar Rashiyahu. Ah, what a Russia that he has such chutzpah. Rabbi Shimon Karcha calls me that. That's one thing. He's a Bal Madrega. Some Koves is calling me this. He's a Russia. So I'm Lu Tafsu. So he told his officers, go arrest him. So Tafsu, they arrested him. Once he calmed down from being insulted, he went to go redeem him from jail. And he couldn't, he was ready too late. So Kari Aleh, he said about this Koves, Shomer Pivulushono, Shomer Mitzaros Nafsho. If he would have been Shomer his mouth, and he wouldn't have mouthed off to me like that by calling me Chometz Ben Yayin, maybe he wouldn't have ended up dead. So Zakfu, they hung the Koves on the gallows. So come to say Zakifa, Rabbi Lezer came and stood under the gallows of Kabachi, and he was crying. Amrle, they said to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi, Aliye Rabbi Necha, don't worry, he didn't do so bad. Shu b'no, Balu Naram Rasa, B'yom Kippurim. It's not from the grace of Tzadikim, this Koves. He was, he and his son were both Balu and Naram Rasa on Yom Kippur. He's the one talking about Chometz Ben Yayin, you know, that you're a Russia Ben Tzadik. He was a Russia and his son was a Russia. He niach yado al b'nei me'av. He put his hands on his stomach. Amar sisu b'nei me'ay sisu umas veko shalacham kach vadao shalacham alachas kama v'kama. When you weren't even sure, you were so accurate. So when you are sure, then all the more so you're getting the right guys. Muftach ani b'chem shein rima v'taleh sholetos b'chem. I am sure that my innards, he's saying, my stomach fat is never going to have, it's never going to become wormy even after I die, because my gut is so good in terms of being able to catch these guys. So Bez Shem will finish that story. We're right in the middle of the story. We'll finish that story tomorrow and go on to the next story. Okay, everyone, have a great day.